Welcome back to another week of the AMB Podcast. It's your boy, Young Tamarack, and I'm on like no spelled backwards. And I'm here with some good people because my people is never not good. Let them know what it is, Stare.
Yo, what up? It's your boy, Stare, a.k.a. the finesse fella, a.k.a. Papa Stare, a.k.a. that big homie by the stairs. We changing up, we switching up a little bit. Live from the 718, yeah.
Over there.
You hear the honking in the background. You know I'm in New York, so yeah, I had to deal for the Zoom. I'm
glad you love New York, dog. That's crazy.
Second home. Even Kaepernick. In the middle of a pandemic. New York.
Kaepernick. But like I said, I'm here with some good people because my people are never not good. And this week, we got the multifaceted, super talented Tijan in the building. Thank you for joining us today, Tijan.
Thank y'all for having me.
We definitely appreciate it. And yeah, man, I was excited to put this episode together. I actually had mentioned getting you on the podcast to Alistair a little while ago. But through me essentially lacking, I just never reached out until like I just reached out to set it up. So
I was like, thankfully, Bryce, just reach out.
I was just like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And then, yeah. But we finally got you here. So you were definitely in consideration to be on the pod. And we're glad that you were able to pull up and link with us. So without further ado, man, I guess, Tijan, how have you been as of late? What's been going on with you in your world? I guess on the West Coast of like the pandemic.
Yeah, so I've been here. I've been here for actually going on 5 years now, which is crazy because it's like you don't really think of those things, especially when you like move away from home. Yeah. But everything over here is pretty cool. It's not too much going on. We did get to a point where like the outdoor restaurant thing was a thing and malls opened back up, but it was just very like dry. So like open, but not too much open.
Really,
and now
lit,
we're
yeah.
back. Now we're back on lockdown, quote unquote. So, and we have a 10 p.m. curfew. So,
damn.
I think the curfew is going to be nationwide, if I'm not mistaken.
They about to have a curfew. I mean, they had a curfew last time. I ain't gonna lie. I was still out whipping it. I was still making moves. I was like, they hold nobody.
I was too. I heard yeah, so. They're handing out misdemeanors. So,
Nah, that's not lit. That's not lit. I'm good off of that. But I mean, I heard like out in like, especially like in LA, what is kind of like the thing that people are doing is just kind of like renting out Airbnbs and throwing parties and like things like that. So
I'm pretty sure that's like,
yeah, of course, naturally. So I mean, for the most part, I feel like people are experiencing the pandemic relatively the same, if not a little different. It's some, like some states, obviously in the South, don't care as much, but it sounds like you've had some more experiences. Yeah.
They are in the club down there.
Oh, yeah.
There.
No mask.
No mask. They're getting all the hits. Miami. They're getting all the hits in the club. I'm, like, a little bit jealous, but...
I'm surprised a lot more rappers down there have not actually come up with COVID. Like, I'm starting to think that they have some sort of immunity or maybe they have, like, the cure. I don't know.
Yeah, December 21st came early for them.
Okay, no, stop. What does that mean? I keep seeing that on my timeline. I guess I missed the initial day when it, what is that? What's supposed to happen? I'm scared.
I wish I could like go to another screen, but basically it's like, basically in layman's terms, all black folk gone inherit their superpowers.
On the 21st.
On the 21st.
Shit. All right, mark it down. Y'all heard it first.
Damn. I guess no, but that's the thing. I've been people talk about, yeah, I'm about to have like this power, I'm about to go by this one. And I'm like, bro, what's going on?
I had to ask someone and they were like, yeah.
Everybody's about to get powers. Damn. All right.
No, all of us.
Oh, well, yeah. Everybody with melanin. Wait, what about mixed people though?
Nah.
I don't work in that department, so I don't know.
Smart answer. Damn, that was very political. you can tell Tasha been places. She been places. That's why she answered that way. Okay. Well, Alistair, how you been though, man? What's going on with you, bro?
I've been pretty good since this time off. You know, I've been reading, you know, reading some books, fixing.
I want to read so bad, but I just like, yeah, I never learned.
I'm going to finish this book. This is a funny story. Mm-hmm. It's like this fictional book about this guy's journey who checks himself into a mental hospital.
Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. And I have a goal that I'm going to finish it before the end of the year. I got like 100 pages left. So fingers crossed. I'm keep checking in with you.
Nice.
Finally collab with Ro at Lids. So we got the OE hat. I got the OE.
Hey.
Hey. Pull that's up. Really.
collabed with this streetwear guy. His company's called Rent Is Due. So shouts to Rent Is Due.
Made oh, Frank. Another homie. That's what's up.
Damn. It's going to be a lot of that in the episode, I feel like, man. I feel like Tajin just, she going to know everybody.
That's why I make the episode so great. But yeah, also, I started watching Shameless. Shouts to Bryce. He put me on. And This Is Us. I don't know if y'all watched.
Well, I heard that shit like mad emotional, bro.
I haven't touched it yet, but I heard I will cry.
Yeah, it will touch you. And I was like, let me tap in with the sensitive side. So, you know.
Yeah. I don't know if I can deal with that. I already listened to too much Rod Wave. And I feel like that's all the sadness that I need in my life. So I'm just like, yeah, but like, I can't go past that. That's too much. But okay, that's a pretty solid week. Yeah. As for me, I've been working on something that I'm really excited for. It was a really big my first single. No. I think my first single is gonna drop in 2021. But I gotta write the hit first. Well, I mean, it's like written, but I gotta write it. And then I'll be like, I'm gonna get in the booth. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do a video and everything. Uh-huh. Hopefully it goes platinum as a one hit wonder. And then I'll never make music again. That's my goal. But so I'm working on this. One of my goals that I had early on in the year. I'm not going to reveal it because sometimes I'll be feeling like goals is like wishes. So like, if you like put it all out there, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. But definitely something major that I'm excited about. And I'm also working on finishing up that video for Autumn LaBella, Sweetest Percussion. There we go. That's the name of the song. So we're working on that video. We're about to wrap putting that up together. I'm going to try to do some more video content coming up soon for the podcast. As you know, Alistair, we've been doing the promo. So I'm working on doing some more promos to get shot for the podcast as well. And putting those together so that we have content for the timeline. And then, of course, just work. Doing the 9-to-5 thing from home. Thankfully, I'm still employed, so that's always pretty lit. Other than that, though, man, I can't really complain, man. I feel like my life is trending in a great direction, and I'm Gucci. I'm living a solid life. I really can't complain. I'm blessed. So, yeah, that's pretty much it for me. But to wrap up, talking about our weeks, man, Alistair, can you hold me down with the top five for this week?
Top five.
This week's top five is gonna be a little different because of our guest. And as Bryce
mentioned, different is it?
Well connected and, you know, well respected out here. We're gonna listen to the top five people she's been able to work with. And we'll get a little more about her too.
Okay. Is this in any specific order or no?
Nah, we don't like to do rankings here at the podcast. We just do lists. Last kind of.
Okay, cool. I don't like to rank in real life either.
Yeah.
Okay, top five, no specific order of people that I've worked with. I've got to start with the home team, Pharrell, Goldlink, FKA Twigs, Rihanna, and Beyonce. And Jay-Z. There we go. Top five.
Damn,
that's a list.
Okay. Yeah, that's a really good top five, actually. Hold up.
Before we really get into this, I just have to ask a question off top.
Okay.
Everyone says that when they're in the presence of Beyonce, she has like this aura. Did you see it? Like, did you feel that when you're around?
Oh, she about to say Beyonce normal. Oh, no. Yeah. She's just a person. That's crazy.
No, she's amazing. She's amazing. She's a hard worker. But when I seen her, I was mostly working with Jay-Z more. So like, I seen her, but I kept walking past her. That was my scene. We just kept passing her. But she was sweet. She's golden. She's like gold.
Got it.
Okay. Beyonce is the flight. She's golden. No, she that's dope.
She's like that's the sun. That's what she is.
Damn. That's a good way to describe her. But I mean, that's crazy. But like, even you just like kind of going through like the list of people that you named, like those are some pretty like heavy hitters in like the music industry or just like in like culture in general, actually, when you really sit down and think about it. And you worked with a lot of other artists as well, too. And we can probably get into a couple more of them as we go on the discussion of, I guess, of your journey. But to really start, for anybody who's listening to the podcast who doesn't know this, we all actually attended James Hubert Blake High School together at the same time. And I'm sure I may have, like, I don't even know if I ever spoke to Tydrin more than like once or twice. Really? I feel like we spoke a couple times, but not like a whole bunch.
We spoke a few times. Yeah.
Right. And so in high school, obviously I didn't know that you were big into like dance and I guess all around dope shit in general. So, I mean, I guess let's start from like high school, like going to like an art school, like Blake, do you feel like that played a big like part in you getting to where you are now?
I would say sort of, just due to being able to express myself, as we were able to in a public school, in an art school, and just having certain opportunities, because I'm not too fond of other high schools, because luckily I did stay at Blake all 4 years of my high school career. But just having like things like dance company and being on such a like fire Palms team and, you know, having the levels of dance classes that we had, like things like that. And I also attended Miss Deanna's School of Dance outside of Blake because she's a family friend. So I'm not too certain I would credit, you know, Blake for
Blake alone.
Yeah. I mean, it was great friends. Honestly, Montgomery County Public Schools, period, because I'm originally from Washington, D.C. So anything having to do with Montgomery County, I would always catch a train to my grandma's house, mother's side or father's side. One of them lived in, I think, like the Belpre area. Mm-hmm. And then the other one lived on like the Wheaton side. So my elementary schooling and things like that, all in Wheaton. And then as I got older, you know, I came more to where like Aspenhall side, White Oak, really. And then we finally moved to White Oak when I was in the ninth grade. And then that's how I was able to go. So honestly, like just being in Montgomery County and like going to those public schools, you know, we're around all types of Latin people, all types of Asian people, all types of Caucasian people, European people, and Black people too. Mm-hmm. African people, like Jamaican, like super dope. So
it's like a fake, really, it's like, well, not even a fake melting pot, but it's definitely so many different cultures that we got mixed
up. Oh, yeah. Like, I definitely credit Montgomery County, like Silver Spring area for just like the greatness because, you know, DC was cool, but where I lived in DC, it wasn't the best. So, no, it was like, but DMV all around, love it. But I definitely credit my coming up in Montgomery County.
Were you traditionally in dance, or it was just like hip hop or a certain
thing? Yeah, so I'm classically trained. So the story is when I was 3 years old, I was watching my cousins in dance class in Burtonsville. Oh my God, like back to Montgomery County in Burtonsville. And I was just looking in the window and my grandma said I started throwing a tantrum because I wanted to do what they did. And all I remember is looking at the outfits because, you know, ballerinas, like they wear the skirts and the tights. Mm-hmm. I was looking at the fashion aspect of it. I threw a tantrum. I wanted to take the class. I was 3 at the time. And the lady at the desk was like, well, you know, we started 6 years old, so she can't come. But my grandma's like, she can do it. Trust me. So they're like, OK, she can come next Saturday. We'll see how she does. And we'll determine, you know, whether or not she can enroll for the classes. So I was 3. So I came in the class with the 6 year olds and I literally was like doing everything. It was ballet, tap, and gymnastics. They didn't have jazz for like babies. So it was like ballet, tap, and gymnastics. And I did everything and they were just like, well, she can stay if, you know, this is what she wants to do. And ever since then, I've just been doing it. And then it wasn't until maybe 2007, my mom allowed me to start taking like hip hop in the studios. Ended up meeting a lady named Nat Blanco and Joseph Natanavan, who were in this thing called Culture Shock in D.C. I didn't know nothing about like hip hop troops and like dance crews and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it was like, yo, you're really good. Like you need to come to our rehearsal. So I tried out and I made it to a team called Future Shock, which is like the mid-level. It's Mini Shock or Mighty Shock. That's like the babies. Future Shock and then Culture Shock, which is like the collegiate level. And from there on, I was dancing, ended up finding out that my cousin danced for Usher. So I was just like, oh shit, like, oh, we do this.
So yeah, y'all just got a bloodline of dancers.
No, bloodline of basketball players. Oh my gosh. But that's another story for another day.
Footwork either way.
I didn't get into it. Heck no, I was not going to work out in basketball. No sport. I played field hockey at Blake. Shout out to that. I would have never played field hockey in DC. No shame.
Not but makes
yeah,
sense.
Like, definitely credit Maryland. And yeah, classically trained. Hip hop didn't come until seventh grade. I always stood in front of the TV though to copy like Aaliyah. Oh my God, all of her stuff. Like, I would literally like try to go find the outfits in my mom's room, like rock the boat. She had like the white beater with the jeans. I would like
rock
go
the,
find
rock
my
the boat's
mom's
a little, stuff. is a little grown though.
Nah, look.
That's a little grown.
Bag,
stroke it for me. Stroke it like, I don't know, man.
Bag, though. You got to understand. I was in my bag. I wasn't even thinking like that. Of course, I'm like a baby, you know.
Well, of course not. I'm just thinking about it. Like, even the video, the metaphor of the video, too. Look, like, they on a boat and they just rock the boat. Rock.
When you grow up and you hear those words,
you're like, man, I shouldn't have been singing this.
A lot of them.
Nah, for sure. For sure. But like, realistically, sitting even here and hearing like the beginning of like the story, you kind of like are all some like protege, like baby LeBron James type shit, low key. Like, you want, like, you like kind of picking up like, it's like how people pick up a sport real early and you can like kind of tell, like, oh, damn, they got like a knack for this kind of like, we got to keep letting them do this. And like, you kind of have like that type of story. So like, that's super dope. Like, I couldn't imagine dancing with everybody at the age of three. The fact that you can even remember what was going on at three is wild already to me. Like, that's kind of crazy in itself. But like, to be dancing from the age of three, I think is kind of insane. Like, that's like some wild shit. Have you told a lot of people this? Like, do a lot of people know this story? No, right? Yeah. God, I'm so glad we're cracking this story right now. This is great. This is great. This is so great. Thank you so much. But okay, so you know, you danced with this, with like, what'd you say? It was Culture Shock, well, Future Shock. Which you said was like, kind of like the mid-tier level of like dance. So like, once you, was this while you were in high school?
This was from, I would say like eighth grade to maybe 10th grade. Cause it was a middle like to high school level.
And then from there, did you progress to like Culture Shock, or did you end up like pivoting to another direction, or you was like, fuck Culture Shock, I'm out of here?
So pretty much I did try out for Culture Shock. They tried to put me on a scholarship, and I felt how I felt about it. I took it for a second, and then I kind of like went my way. I found other college teams. At the time though, I was attending Howard and MC, being that I was at Howard for fashion, and also through like a lady at my church being a whole professor at Howard, I was there, and then I was at MC. And you know, I'm just kind of like feeling around the dark. This is when I found out that you can actually like dance. Like, it's a thing. You don't have to be famous or, you know, like, I didn't know you could get signed to an agency. So I found this team called Capital Funk, and that was GW's dance team. That's their hip hop team. I tried out, made it, and I just really liked the vibe there. And I just started competing and doing shit with C-Funk, and that was it for me. I didn't do any other teams. UMBC has a team. Maryland has a team. Maryland has two teams. But I don't know, something about the one at GW that was just like my vibe for sure.
Wait, so when you ended up getting to GW, do you end up having to like attend that school to dance on that team?
Luckily, no. And it's like that with all the collegiate teams. Major Definition at UMBC, Dynamic and Functions at University of Maryland College Park. All of those teams, you can literally go try out and be on it.
That's really interesting. So, but these are still like sponsored by like the university, and I'm just trying to figure out how that works, how you can bring in outside people that don't attend. Cause I mean, do you have to pay to be a part of the team or anything like that? Or so you just try to make it.
If they're winning, if they're going to get the dance crew to be like, all right, pull, just like
yeah, it's literally like a dance crew. Like, yeah, it's a school organization, but that's a good question because, of course, I always felt weird going onto someone else's campus. But
yeah.
I don't know. Like, they also just make you feel like family, and you go to their parties, you hang out with them. We traveled to compete, but it's mostly like a dance crew type of situation, yeah, as opposed to like a school club.
So let me ask you this, Paul. So you said that you were attending Howard and you were attending MC, right? So yeah, once you ended up getting onto the GW team, were you still taking classes, or like, were you like, kind of like, I think this dance thing is like the wave, and like, that's like kind of going to be the thing that I do.
Oh, funny question. So basically when I was at MC, I was already on the fence about MC because of the population, really. And kind of everybody just deciding to go to MC. Like, I don't know what it was. It was just like a wave of everyone just like, no, fuck it. We just gonna go to MC and we gonna transfer. That kind of discouraged me because like, I just never really seen home being my wave, period. Like after Lake, I got accepted into Spelman and Clark Atlanta, and Spelman was really trying to get me, but like, I wasn't feeling that. I don't think I was like, well, like, I wasn't very knowledgeable of it. I went on a tour and everything. I just wasn't feeling it. All girls school, like, that just completely turned me off.
So Morehouse is like literally like right outside of the gate.
That's what I mean. I don't think I was really like knowledgeable of like what I would be getting myself into, because I was kind of dead set on like Clark and what I wanted to do and what I wanted to be. But anyways, I'm just kind of thrown off by MC. I start going to New York for auditions, because this is when I start hearing about like, oh, you know, like, it is an agency called Block New York. Come to a Block audition, come to the Clear audition, Clear Talent Group, that's another one, MSA. And I'm just like, oh, cool. Like, you can really dance like in real life. Start doing that. And then one time I got hit up by a guy on 106 and Park. 106 and Park was still on TV. Jennifer Lopez had a video coming out. Now, they wanted to do something pertaining to like her Fly Girl, you know, like a career before she became a singer. She used to dance on the Living Color. And the dude, this DJ dude, he was like, yeah, like, you should come through to the audition, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, 106 and Park, like, that's kind of legendary. Like, that's iconic, because I came
up. Not even kind of. 106 and Park is legendary.
Okay. 106 and
Park is legendary.
You gotta correct me, because I do. Yeah.
No.
So I went, and two legends literally in the dance game, this lady named Janelle Cambridge and Aunt Boogie was the like the choreographers, the judges, like all of that. So I'm like in the back. I'm all like bald and shit. I used to shave my head a lot. I used to be mad weird in college. And I'm just like, damn,
why? That's okay. That's okay. We all weird for the most part anyways, like across the board anyway. So yeah.
Definitely. I'm out here with no eyebrows. So
I didn't even notice.
I ended up like just making it through the waves because it was like lines of people in front of me. It was cutting people. And I literally made it to the end, and I was kind of like it, like, and then my parents found out, because when I got the job, you know, it was at the end of the audition, like, everybody's gone. It's like four of us in the room. They're like, okay, y'all, so we'll see you tomorrow. I also caught the bus here. My cousin Tamara caught the bus up with me, thank God, because it's like, I have my older cousin with me. Great. Another Blake alum, shout out to T-Hawk. And then they was like, yeah, see you tomorrow at 7. And I'm just like, so I tell her, she's like, well, we can go home, or we can come. I said, I'm not going home. If I go home, yeah, I'm going to stay at home. So I ended up like sleeping at Port Authority, and that's a bus station in New York. I stole my brother's North Face backpack, and like, I just had like stuff in it. I think like just audition stuff, just to like swap out. Like, if I want to wear this, if I don't want to wear this, I had that. I had like my charger, like just simple stuff. And I remember like all I wore was like a bomber jacket. So I slept on the backpack, like on me, and I slept against a plug. So I plugged up my charger and I had my phone and I put my phone like this in the bomber and I just like slept like that for 2 days.
That's real gangster shit right there.
For 2 days, bro. Like with cargo. Some cargo shorts. A mohawk and like goated. A bomber jacket and some skate hats.
Goated. Nah, you was in the trenches. You was in the trenches. You was in the trenches.
with the high top skate highs on, just like.
Just posted. Damn. Nah, that's crazy. And especially like you being like, a woman, like, just like essentially kind of just out there, like worried about your safety a bit. But like also like still having to worry about like, damn, like I got to go to this dance thing tomorrow and I got to do my thing and I got to, I got to fuck it up. But I do got a question in terms of like you showing up to the audition. Now, I know we've all seen the episode of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air when Aunt Viv wanted to get back into dancing. And as soon as like as soon as they come up, right, they're like, all right, this is going to be the routine. Like they like, they do all the moves real quick. And it's like, all right, go. Is that what happens? Or is there like more time? Do y'all get like a little like, 5 minutes to go in the corner and like, work on like
totally,
your moves.
Wrap that up, my parents basically was like, you either gonna do this or you gonna go to school because you're not gonna waste our money. And I was like, oh bet, I know I had a choice. So I cut that. That was that with the folks. They was just like, yeah, do it. So with the auditioning now, it's different, honestly. It depends too, but industry auditions, they sometimes typecast. That means you come in. Some jobs have specs. The email will say, we just want Black girls. Another email will say, we want a certain look, and you come in there, you get in line, and they literally look at you and they be like, thank you.
Fine. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. And if you don't make it through typecasting, you leave. If you make it through typecasting, you start learning. And it's kind of like a little class, they teach it and they go. Some people teach faster, some people teach slower, but I don't think I've ever been in an audition where they threw it. And was like, do it. That's just
okay. So that they lied
TV
on that episode, basically.
That's the TV show.
My question. Aunt Viv killed it though.
Yes, yeah, of course. Legendary performance. If you get lost in choreography, like, how do you stay focused to like jump back in? Like, is it muscle memory?
If you get lost in choreography, honestly, I'm not really one to ask too many questions. I kind of would rather like continue to watch. And watch, and you have mad people around you, like watch your surroundings and stuff like that. But if you get lost, honestly, some people just ask questions like, hey, can you go back to, if you're in the back, front row, sit down, back row, like look. But yeah, it's all about like asking, or if you're not a person to ask questions in class, you just catch it. It helps with your pickup. So yeah, if you get lost, you ask. They're very nice. I don't know. Y'all probably be watching mad TV. Like, they be like, nah.
That's exactly
no
what
questions.
It is.
YouTube
That's
videos,
exactly
the
what
whole
it is.
Class and people just like, I'll be like, damn.
Yeah. They be looking real intense.
They're learning so fast.
They do that. They be in them classes, though. A lot of those people are very used to that teacher. Some of those people learn it beforehand because they're friends with these teachers. And, they go in to make the video look fire, which is... whack. It's mad shit that people do in LA to do things like that. But most of the people in LA are here for a reason, which is amazing. So when they're in those classes, like they're there to learn, and they pick it up, their pickup is fast because they're so ready. Everybody's so ready to work, get on. They never know when their time is. You never know who's gonna walk into the class. There's been some crazy people that have walked into some classes before, and I just be like,
hold up. Wait, so like, I mean, is this like crazy within the dance world or just like crazy like in like our realm of the world in general?
Everywhere. Like you'll be in the fucking class, like Samuel Jackson walking at you. You be like, what are you doing? Okay, hey, what's up? Oh my god.
Like, oh, what's up, Sam? I see you. Like, hey.
Right. Like Jake Gyllenhaal and like I mean, most times the singer might come to the class that's the class that they're teaching. It's dope. It's pretty dope. But yeah, it's very random out here. People just be trying to learn.
Yeah. That's what's up. But okay, so from there, like again, like we said, you was in the trenches. You were sleeping on the floor. You know what I mean? Like had the phone in your pocket. So you make a team, you get on from there, you do the J-Lo video. And then from there, is that when you got with the agency, or were you with the agency already, or?
No, I was independent still. I had to chase that check. It was horrible. Chasing that check was probably like $56.
Oof. For the J-Lo video?
For the J-Lo appearance on 106 in Park. That joint was like not even $100, I don't think.
Damn.
I know, right? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, but
I don't get those checks anymore, thank God. But
you gotta start somewhere, I guess.
You too.
Like, on a highlight reel to be like, yo, this is where I work, this is who I work with, or is this like just your dudes that you're putting into the industry?
Oh no, for sure. You for sure can have a reel, you can have your resume, of course, but yeah, reels are definitely encouraged. I'll probably make one day.
Oh wow! So you don't have a reel currently. So like, I guess is your IG your point of reference at this point in time?
For the most part, yes. Either my IG or go through my agent. But a lot of things are like word of mouth too. It's pretty crazy. Yeah. I've been on jobs where like OGs have been like, "Oh yeah, I heard about you," and you just be like,
"Wow,
really dope." It's really dope. But IG is definitely a point of reference for a lot of people. Because they're lazy.
So. I mean, yeah, you got to give people something that's easy access to. So, I mean,
oh, yeah.
I definitely feel you. So, okay. So you end up getting signed. I guess since we were just talking about IG, I want to reference some of the things that I did see on your Instagram. So for one, you did a video with everyone's favorite 5'11" queen, Meg Thee Stallion, right? Which was, that was what, the Hot Girl Summer video?
Yeah.
Right. So for one, I'm so jealous that you were in that video. And I'm even more jealous that you like are literally like bumping and grinding with Meg. Like, and I'm just like, wow, like I wish I were so lucky, but I'm not. So like, but what was that experience like? Because like the video looked like it was like kind of like a good time in general. How did that come together for you? Yeah, take a sip so you can really get into it, so you can get into the details.
So pretty much, my homegirl Tosh crewed up, Lil Vegan Shawty. She hit me up one day and she's like, "Hey, can we like..." What did she say? I wish I could remember the exact words, but she basically said some shit like, "Can we vibe? Like, can we link for a little vibe?" And I'm like, "For sure, come over." Like, I had a fitness place in my apartment building at the time. So like dance studio, whatever, we get in there. And she's like, "Okay, we can't play this song because it comes out tomorrow. We're also shooting tomorrow." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And in layman's terms, she wants me to help her choreograph a music video for Meg Thee Stallion featuring Ty Dolla $ign and Nicki Minaj. I'm just like, right. Whoa. So we get in the studio, we start just putting things together. She shows me like an 8 count, and that's just like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's how much she had made up. I end up literally just finishing the whole chorus, and that like that night we went to another studio, just a bigger studio, because we couldn't meet up with Meg at the time. That's who we were going to be dancing with, we found out. So we sent her, we shoot this video, we sent it to her, and we literally show up the next day. It was kind of a mess, I'm not gonna lie. They didn't have a permit for this super cute mansion we were at. We started at this really cute mansion, and they didn't have a permit, so we end up pushing all the way out to this place called Chino Hills, which if you are from LA, you know the IE is, the IE is literally like, it's like Rancho Cucamonga on Friday After Next. Like that's where we were at, from Hollywood all the way to out there. That's over an hour out. So you already know how all the extras are feeling. You've seen that party, right? They had to transport all of them.
All those people. Hell yeah. Damn.
So we get there and we're just waiting hours and hours. They got to change the concept to like a night party. And they started inviting all these girls, all these singers, all these like just people. It's crazy. Ty Dolla $ign ends up coming. Nicki Minaj comes. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we just started the shoot. We went on Megan King, and she was just really great. She's another great one. She's just really great. Like, really sweet, really chill.
Hey, is she really that tall? She that big?
Well, she had on heels around me too, so that didn't help any. She is a very tall woman. She's an Amazon for sure.
Well built. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's an Amazon. And I think that that's like so amazing that there's even like a female rapper out like that. You know what I'm saying? Because like, there's been Amazons before, like in fashion and things like that. But like to see a woman like that, a Black woman at that, like dominating right now, I think that's really dope. Mm-hmm. Shout out to her. But no, she's amazing. She didn't learn the choreography. She actually came up and was like, okay, let's like slap. Hey, it's slap. And bend over and slap. And I'm just like,
they can get away with
sitting
that
here all day. We can literally do whatever, the pay ain't changing. So let's just have fun. They bring out like the quesadilla bottles. It's just a party. I got a free Jet t-shirt. It's amazing.
Like, damn, man. Oh, I wish I was.
You could have came.
She's so close. She's so close to Meg. She's like literally like, you can feel the body heat coming off of her. It's
just... okay, Bryce. Calm down, buddy. Calm down.
But, Let me stop. Yeah.
Also going off your IG, you got into some modeling work. Do you like modeling or dancing more? Which one?
Oh, which one do I like?
Hmm?
Oh, I love to dance.
Okay.
Modeling is a check and some free clothes. Like, much respect to models. Much respect to photographers, designers, all of the above. Everybody that falls under that umbrella, but that is not for me. I will do it, but I don't enjoy it, especially if it's not like on me. Like, oh, I just want to have a photo shoot with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for me.
Yeah.
Nah.
But you were in, you even were on like a magazine, right? What was that? Gap Magazine? Is that
yeah.
what I saw? How did you end up on the magazine?
First ended up in Gap issue 3. Because what did happen? I just got hit up by the CEO and she was like, yeah, we're doing an issue on like Black people and they wanted to interview me. And I was like, oh, cool. And like the questions are really dope and they were meaningful. And it was also just during like a really tough time, like when the riots started popping off, the whole like mm-hmm. George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, like Ahmaud Arbery, like all those things. That magazine came out like right after. So I was definitely down to be a part of it, especially because it was highlighting like Black excellence. Yeah. So that was one thing. And then the CEO recently, you know, contacted me and she said, hey, I'm doing something like very personal. I'm turning my magazine into like a photo book. And she wanted to highlight basically just like all the times that she's dealt with like a fuckboy. So she enlisted in a few of us dancers and we recreated some unfortunate times of her life. And that's how I got in the Gap magazine. It's pretty cool. I'm pretty cool with the CEO. She wrote a really sweet message. She said I inspired her for 3 years. And I was just like, I didn't even know I knew. I've only known her for like maybe a year now. Yeah. So that it was just really cool. It's really, really cool, man.
You also had work with the Savage Fenty line. How'd that come about?
Oh yeah. So pretty much, how did Savage come about? A good friend of mine, Darian G, who is actually a core dancer for Ariana Grande. I think he's actually the only like male that she actually allows to present himself as a female too on the tour. Icon. He mentioned me. Now, me previously working with Rihanna, I don't know if that had anything to do with anything. I'm also pretty cool with the creative director of Savage Fenty as well. And Yeah, he just hit me and was like, yo, we were talking, because he assisted that year, the first year. He was like, yo, we was talking about you. And we were just like, yo, she's so ready for this, blah, blah, blah. I got an email from my agent. I didn't really take it too serious. They was like, yeah, they're considering you, you know, like, are you available? Can you go to New York for X amount of days? Can you live in New York? And I was like, yeah. So, yeah, I was literally at a 4th of July party, I believe. Or some shit. What's in August? Like Labor Day or something?
That's September.
Memorial Day?
Yeah, I think.
It might have been Labor Day, though, because if it's Labor September, Day is, then I
That's like literally like the end of August, like start of like September.
I think I was at some Labor Day thing because Savage ended up being in like September, October-ish. So I was there, got an email, and it was like, hey, like they want you to come out. So I ended up coming on like the second or the last day, some shit like that. Learned a few counts and it was at Fashion Week. So it was pretty dope. I was also dancing with an artist. So I was there. I got to do like Rolling Stone. And it was just really cool. It was pretty full circle too. Seen some friends from home at parties. It was really, really, really cool, especially because I don't know. I just love when I see anybody from home, like there, you know, it's like, right. Damn.
No, it makes sense. It's like, damn, we both ended up here. That's crazy. What a
thing. Yeah, but it's never a surprise. It's never a surprise. Okay. Anybody from home. I feel like everybody from home is like,
hella talented.
That's very true. That's very true. But I mean, a common theme that I've definitely been hearing, like in the time of us having this conversation, is like networking is like super huge. I mean, also it helps that you were, you know, you're very talented at what you do. So with like that automatically gets people to be like, hey, like what's going on with her? Like, let's investigate. Let's ask some questions. Let's get her to show up places. But like you connecting and meeting all these different people has essentially just kept opening door after door after door after door for you. And I feel like it's not the, well, I mean, obviously it's not the same like here directly in this area, you know, in terms of being able to get like directly connected to like the right people, because there's not an abundance of those people who have the ability to I guess, cause influence or cause change that can like kind of open doors for you. So like, for example, I just got into Clubhouse and I was on a call with, and it was Wale talking. And it was like a bunch of people who like, he was like, yeah, anybody who has smoke for me in the DMV, like, yo, like bring it. Like, I want y'all to ask y'all questions. So people were like, yo, like Wale, why don't you put on more people? And Wale kind of like went down the list of everybody that he put on, or like everybody that like he tried to put on.
I was there.
Yeah. So like everybody that he tried to put on. And I was like, I mean, he's making some valid points, but I mean, at the end of the day, DC is just not that type of market yet, at least, or at this point. I don't know if it'll get to that point, but yeah, for the most part, people have to kind of like leave in order to kind of do greater things.
Like, it's not that market though. Yeah. Why do you feel like it's not that market?
Well, it's kind of also what Wale said yesterday as well, though, too, is that we have kind of like lost a little bit of like our originality in a sense. Like we don't have like that. Like Go-Go was like our thing, right? I mean, Go-Go like kind of like got picked up in certain places, but like a lot of people don't necessarily gravitate towards Go-Go. But I mean, like we had our own slang, but like people don't like pick up on our slang because we don't have like the popular artists like using like the slang like out there. So like prime example, like Cap, like so like literally every artist from Atlanta you will hear use Cap at one point or another.
Crazy.
So like at some point, just like that, like it was going to catch on. But like there's not somebody out here saying like oh kill mo, like a whole like every time they get on a track, or like
you know,
right. That's not something that's happening. And we don't have the influencers for that to like go nationwide. The only real influencer we have at that level is someone like a Wale. And granted, Wale does make very good music. He's very talented, but he doesn't get the same type of spins that like a new Lil Baby track gets, or like a new Gunna, or like a new Young Thug track gets. Like, it just don't go down that way. So I just, I don't know if you agree. I don't know if you feel as if like, yeah, you sometimes, well, essentially you do have to leave it, especially if you're going to do something maybe like in the creative like lane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely do think that. I think it's imperative to leave. Like, a lot of people, even in that chat especially, I can't really speak on the music side, of course, because I'm not a musician in any way, shape, or form. But just from my standpoint, you can't do anything in the DMV unless you have the money, the connections, relationships.
Money's the number one thing.
Jeez. Yeah, it's like, unless you have the money and the connections and relationships necessary to propel your business, whether it be a studio, a music or a dance studio, especially a dance studio, if you don't know people, if you don't know choreographers, if you don't know popular dancers that teach classes, if you don't know casting directors, even music video directors, movie directors, if you don't know people, what are you bringing to the DMV, or who in the DMV is really like creating shit that's like crazy, that's reaching these people? And do they even know the proper people? Like, that's the thing that people don't really understand. A lot of people in that chat were like, well, you know, like, we could be we got to start at home, but it's like, who's doing anything at home, and why does everything have to fall on that man? Like, why they don't do everything?
Right.
So it's like, and I'm not saying just because he doesn't do everything, he doesn't have the contacts, but music is not the only thing, the only outlet that will like move a city. You know, like you got the music, but all of these, like, and it's no shade to them, but all these like little hood like videographers, like, that shit does not move. That doesn't really catch anyone's attention. A lot of people were talking about how music videos are, you know, not the same anymore, and they always bring up, you know, Busta Rhymes and Missy Elliott, and it's just like, that's really crazy, because like, that's what I'm working towards. Dance has been great. Dance is amazing. But I actually got into directing last year. And this is some weird stuff, because I don't talk to people, so it's like weird to say it. It's weird to say this out loud. Yes. So last year I got into directing. I started working with a friend who was working through this company called Object and Animal. Really dope, really major production company. I got to work with Dreamville, Boz and Ari Lennox, for the first time, assistant director, and then second go around, straight Ari Lennox, and then worked on another video in production. So it was like pretty dope. And then I got into creative direction. So now, actually like 2 weeks ago, I just started creative directing. First job, Billionaire Girls Club, the rebrand. So that's coming really soon, working with Billionaire Girls Club.
Nice. Exclusive.
I just feel like if you don't really like know the right people and stuff like that, it's not really any way. And like, there was a guy in there, who was it, like Drama Boy, the producer, he was in there and he was just talking about how like, you know, like, you can go, it's okay to go outside of home to get cosigns and to get, you know, like love, because like, how else do you expect DC to get on the map? You know, you want everybody in DC to tell everybody else in DC about what
that doesn't make sense.
We're stubborn in a sense. Like, is that what it is? It's like, no, we can do it. And it's like, yeah, we can do it, but it's okay to like have help. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to go outside, you know what I'm saying, to get more knowledge. And that be the issue. People don't be cultured enough. People ain't been nowhere. People don't want to go nowhere. And I will never for the life of me understand that, because I love home. I've never claimed anywhere else as home. But it's like that stuck vibe that I can't get with. And even when you go home, people treat you a different way. I've lost mad friends. Like, first year of moving here, I've lost so many friends. It's like, it's really crazy. But I encourage, you know, going where you feel that you need to learn, or you need to gain knowledge, or you need to network, because this place has definitely helped me. I could say with great confidence, if I ever came home and I wanted to make a dance studio, because that's what my dad wants me to do, if I ever came home and made a dance studio, I have so many amazing friends that I could just call and be like, hey, y'all, come do a workshop for the kids. You know what I'm saying? There's so many fire kids. Oh my God. The DMV has like the most fire dancers. And if I did some shit like that and just brought like Beyonce's choreographer, who's also Megan Thee Stallion's choreographer,
Yeah.
Janet's choreographer, like the list of people who I know that have worked for a certain list of people, it's out of this world.
It's a huge list. But I mean, this is also, it's very similar to sports. Like when you even sit down and like, and you talk about it that way, because it's just like, if you're someone who made it, you're an athlete, you end up finishing your career, or you're not dancing or whatever, you can literally come back home and you can like try to put on for the people who are from where you're from. You can set up, like you said, like a school, or you can do camps, or you can do clinics, you can do workshops, you can start teams. Like there's so many different avenues that you can take. And then, like you said, you can reach out to the other people who have the same experiences as you. And you can be like, hey kids, like this is somebody who like y'all think I'm hot shit, but like this person is pretty hot shit. You know what I mean? So like that's definitely dope. I do hope you follow through with that dream and that goal. After you follow through with the whole creative directing and like and all that. But that's definitely dope, man. I'm glad to hear that. Like you already made moves, and you're continuing to make more moves beyond that. So like definitely like don't, well, I don't even have to tell you this, but like keep doing your thing. Like people notice. So that's for sure. But something like I said at the beginning of the episode, you're like multi-talented. You do like pretty much like almost everything. But like, don't you also like do nails too, actually?
I do.
So you do nails as well too.
Okay.
Yeah. She gets it in, like, I'm telling you, like, multiple streams of income, for sure.
Yeah.
But, so, like, was that something you always done, though, or is that something that you, like, picked up recently, or?
It's definitely been something I've always been into, like, from a child. And it wasn't until this year, February, that I actually, like, went for it, and I went to school for it. And actually, it wasn't until, like, last week we actually, like, shut down until next year. So, very, very close to getting my license. But this COVID shit is, like, really messing up
fucking up the time.
Yeah, it's, like, fucking up the schedule of things. But it's all good. But, yeah, like, always been into nails. Decided the end of last year. Like, damn, like, what are you going to do, like, on the side? You know, I would love to have, like, the 7 streams of income or whatever if I can handle it, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, well, damn, like, what am I into? You know, I started listing things I was into, like, genuinely that I wouldn't lose interest in, or, you know, things I wouldn't want to give up on. And I was like, wow, like, a nail shop would be really, really dope, you know what I'm saying? So I started going to school for it, brushing up on my like skills, getting my foundations. And then I was kind of comfortable enough to open my business, and I started doing house calls. That turned into me doing celebrities, that turned into me doing like actors. So it's crazy. Like even like how you keep saying like these connections, it's crazy how like all that stuff, they can still like, you know, they can plug in at any point. It's crazy because it's like, yeah, I dance for you, but oh, you want me to come like do your nails too? Oh, I'm not dancing for you today, but you want me to come to set so I can do your nails and your friend and the actor. And it's like, boom.
I feel like that's changing your pace. Like, I think that going back to the DMV conversation, it's kind of like we're at a slower pace than a lot of other people. Like when you look at New York, they're like 24/7. All right, let's get it. Let's do this. You're speaking about being in Cali in LA, and it's like, all right, we're doing this, and it's always rolling. It's a day party. Nah, we're gonna change that. It's a night party now. We're just gonna keep moving. So I feel like you gotta just keep going, and you going with your nails. It's like, all right, I got this one thing I'm doing real good at. I'm about to brush up. I'm interested in this, and you're talking. You spoke on the 7 incomes that you're looking to go obtain. It's like, that's really dope, and that's something that people need to aspire to be like. So
I appreciate it, because you can easily get, you know, like distracted by like just being busy, period, and you don't really like notice that you're doing, you know, what you set out to do. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, for sure. So another question that I have, that's a burning question. So obviously we live in a time where, you know, social media is a really big and like popular thing. And, you know, we have like things like TikTok. But like in terms of like, you know, dance crazes and things like that, like how do you feel about that? I mean, it's being someone who is like a classically trained dancer. Like, do those things like really grind your gears to like see like people like trying to like make it seem like they can really dance just because they do like those like I guess, crazes or the hit them folks?
Honestly, I love dance crazes. I feel like that shit is so dope, especially for the kids always, to keep things fresh in the community. I always love dance crazes. I feel like that's such a, it's such a Black thing. It's such a hip hop thing. We created that shit. So it's always dope, I think, to see different dance crazes, because it's always young Black kids, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Keeping it alive and pushing people's music and just doing amazing things. It's like helping each other out. But as far as like TikTok and things like that go, again, I think it's just for the kids. In the beginning, I was deaf with the rest of the dancers, like, you know, like rolling my eyes at it, because those people actually end up getting jobs, replacing us, taking our jobs, taking opportunities like movies and commercials and just really dope things that we typically have to work very, very hard for, to see it, just get it handed to them. Right. Especially because it's always like the wealthy white kids, like white little kids, wealthy white kids. White you know, it sucks, but.
A little Black girl.
Yeah, like the girl, Jalea. But luckily she got her due, and like, you know, K-Camp, you know, noticed and he spent time with her and, you know, shouted her out and stuff. They linked up. She worked on like some stuff with like Scooby-Doo movie. She's got like dope commercials. Like they definitely like looked out for her. She's like on the right track. And I'm really glad that those kids and like even us adults on Twitter, like we stood up for her and we were like, hey, like this is the girl who made it. You know, but it sucks that it would almost have to be like a lot of these younger Black kids that we would have to advocate for, because it's a lot of things that you see out here that kids from like the hood and shit like that made up, like Hit Them Folks and stuff like that, and like The Whoa and things like that. Like, I don't really see those kids often, and it sucks. But yeah, TikTok and all that stuff, like that's for the kids. Like, we had Vine, you know what I'm saying? The old heads wasn't knocking us for our Vine.
Yeah, for Vines, and like shit, they weren't though.
Greatness.
I never actually got into using Vine, but I definitely used to watch Vines. Yeah, no, I never got into using Vine. Mm-mm.
Vine was the one, Bryce, what do you mean?
Yeah, and you would think like, cause I like the whole video thing and all that, but nah, never.
You would've made a killing on TikTok.
I'm not gonna get on TikTok, bro. Mm-mm. I'm not going to get on the Chinaman's app, bro. I can't do it.
They're fun. I'm not going to lie. They're very fun, like, if you're with friends and stuff like that. But taking it seriously, post up and like, do it solo, career, like,
nah, yeah.
I can't do the solos. I can't do the career in TikTok. I can't take it too seriously.
Yeah. No, it's a bit much for me. I'm good off of that. But I guess to move off, I guess, well, actually, one last thing in terms of, like, you know, dance and all that. So again, you've done like a lot of different things. You've been on like award shows. You've been on The Voice dancing, you know, you've worked with Rihanna. And even in the beginning of the podcast, you know, Jay-Z, Beyonce. Was there ever like, I guess, what's the most nervous you've ever been before you've done a performance? Or are you just always like kind of like nervous as steel? Like, I'm ready to go. I'm gonna fuck it up. Like, it's gonna go crazy.
I think that I'm always kind of like really excited to dance. I don't really get nervous. I will say though, the last time I was nervous was at, it was like a combo of shows, cause it was like a back-to-back type of situation. I was with Pharrell doing, what is his thing called? Post Malone has a festival, if y'all didn't know. So yeah, he has a whole festival in Dallas.
Damn.
So it was that we did Posty. It's called Posty Fest. That's what it's called. Posty Fest in Astroworld. That's an original name.
Post Malone.
Posty Fest in Astroworld. It was like weekend one. Weekend. It was like Coachella and that bitch. It was like Coachella and that bitch. So I just remember like the first, like the intro to Pharrell's set. It's just like, it's grinding, but it's like a chop version of grinding. And it's like the little, duh. Like, it's just that. And it's us walking, and it's just like, duh, duh, boom, duh, got, duh, duh, huh, Yeah, and it's like very intricate. And when it comes to like moves like that, I'd be like, bro, if I step the wrong way, it's curtains. And I feel like the assistant choreographer, I don't know if she is assistant choreographer, but I know she does a lot of choreography for this certain, you know, group of people. She's behind me. And I was like, bro, if she sees me step the wrong way, which I did at Astroworld, I heard her like kiss her teeth. I was like,
Oh damn.
But it was like I'm all on my dream job. I'm like, oh, this is amazing. I love it. I want to stay here forever. Yeah. And it's like, don't fuck up. But it's just like this little intricate song and it's dead silent. You know, you got the crowd, but the track is just grinding, like chopped up, like chopped one up, beat. Yeah. Another beat. Silence. And it's like, if you step wrong, if you clap,
it'll be very obvious.
Snap on the wrong part. If you hit the grinding beat any other way that the grinding beat is not hitting, they're going to hear it. They're going to see it because it's a line of us. It's a straight line. We look like Muslim girls. But yo, that was like the last time I was nervous, and it was two shows in a row. And we had rehearsals and shit, but like the girls, it was like me and two other girls that were new. Everybody else knew the whole show.
Oh, damn.
And we just had to
get in where you fit in. Yeah.
And learn the show. And them stages was huge. Both of them had runways that went out into the crowd. They were high up in this, like over 6 feet high. And we're just on a runway, like
going off. Damn,
going you're crazy.
Lit. You're lit. You're fucking lit. That's what's up.
I was nervous. I lost grills, but
I was gonna say, what do you feel like the most satisfying part of dancing is for you?
Ooh, the most satisfying part of dance is honestly the performing. I'm a performer, so any chance I get to perform, that's the most satisfying part. I've always been a performer. So just to think back on like the levels of performance, recitals as a kid, any little performance as a kid outside in DC at the park or in DC for like, I performed for like the AIDS walk before with Future Shock, like on to being a Palm at Blake and doing the football games, like on to 106 in Park, on to, you know, the college level of things. And then on to this, it's just like, levels of just different types of performances, I guess.
You're in the league now.
You know, amazing. And I love it. And it's fun. And just meeting the people in the crowd. Like sometimes, you know, like dancers, they'll go and they might have to leave after the show. We get to stay. They're just like, oh my God, like you were so great. And it's just like, damn, like I got to perform for you and you appreciated it. And that's amazing. Yeah. And now we're fulfilled. Friends. And now we're going to go see Young Thug and we're going to go buy a t-shirt.
Oh, man. Hell yeah.
It's such like a great feeling. And then like my grandma, like God rest her soul. Like I just know she's at every show. So it's just like performing is it for me because she actually passed a year before I graduated in 2012. So she's seen it all. So yeah. Performing is always like super lit to me. It's my favorite aspect of this whole thing and learning. The learning experience and the travel, top three. The learning experience and the travel. Even though
you definitely get to go places.
I'm scared of flying.
Yeah, you get over that fear real quick when you're going.
No,
gone though.
You just have to. Like, luckily, most times I get to work with like a close friend, so I'll just sit with her on the plane, and I'll be okay, I guess. But it was one time, bro. I went to London. I was not having it. They had to pull out the oxygen.
Bruh, it's not that bad. You gotta just, I don't know. You maybe just gotta take like some sleepy medication or something, dog.
Don't work.
To put you down.
I've done everything.
Wow. I've done everything. I mean, I can't really sleep either on a plane, but like one thing that I'll never do again is I will never take an edible and get on a plane again.
Oh my God.
Never
those
again.
Make me sick. Edibles make never me sick. I've gotten again. That before. That
combo.
Can't do it.
No, it started out great though. That's the thing. But like, this is when I was flying to Ghana, actually. Like, And this is not like no like short flight, my nigga. This is a long flight. So, like, so like I literally like before I got on the flight, ate the choke, and then like and say I'm cool, and I end up like talking to somebody on the flight. And then after a while, I was like, man, I do not feel like having this conversation. And like, fuck. So like, I just kind of slowly, like, literally, just like, all right, I'm about to just like stop talking. And I just kind of like slowly went into like my, I was like, all right. And so like, I'm like, let me watch a movie. Like that'll definitely, you know what I'm saying. And I was like, all right, cool. Then I tried to go to sleep, and I was just like, bruh, like, I was like, I'm too fried, dog. Like, I can't stand it. I don't know what to do with myself. And it was just, it was awful. It was bad. It was bad. So lesson learned, kids. No edibles on flights. Unless you just are Wiz Khalifa or maybe Snoop. I don't know. They got like crazy tolerance. I think they're just
probably smoke on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if, well, like, I don't know. Flying private is expensive. So I don't know how they get down. But no, it really is expensive. Like, yeah. Like if people are flying private, be skeptical depending on who it is. Let me just say that. But a real world question that I did want to ask you, Tydrin, is that obviously we're all in the pandemic. We're living in a pandemic world. And it's been affecting everybody in different ways, whether it's been affecting, you know, your family members or you, it's affected you personally, your pockets, you know, your goals, whatever. And obviously they're working really hard to create, you know, a solution to the problem. And we've all been hearing about vaccines getting ready to come out. You know, apparently there's like a really good vaccine that was made by Pfizer. And, you know, they're saying that, hey, like it's getting close to that time where like, yo, motherfuckers can start, you know what I'm saying, start taking this vaccine. And like, hey, we might be able to kind of, you know, go back to or pretty close to, you know, normal. You just have to verify like, you know, that you got your vaccine depending on the event that you're going to. But do you see yourself taking the vaccine?
Never.
Never.
You said never.
Ooh, not at all.
That's negative. No, did you see how those people ended up?
Yeah, but in all fairness, that's four occurrences out of like hundreds and hundreds of like people taking the medication, which is going to happen. Also the condition that they have is temporary. It is not something that is permanent and will not affect you for your entire life. So I did, after I saw the article, I definitely went and I definitely took some time to read it. It's like, it's some type of palsy that they, I think it's Ball's palsy, which
I'm about to say something to be.
To say, but yeah. But yeah, it's a temporary condition. But for the most part, what they've been saying, it's, are you laughing at Ball's palsy? Me too. But, but for the most part, it's been pretty successful. So, nah, that Ball's palsy is funny. I don't care what anybody says. If people think we're childish, then whatever. But yeah, I mean, me personally, like, I waffled about it at first, but then I'm kind of sitting and thinking, I'm just like, man, realistically.
Man.
Might as well.
I'm going back to Jamaica before I take anybody's vaccine. Mm-mm. Mm. I can't do it. I've never been that type anyways. Like my parents never took me to get no flu shot, no nothing like that. Weren't anti-vax. They weren't anti-vax as a baby. Like, of course, I got all the shots that you need when you're a baby and stuff like that. You go to like your first appointment and things like that. But flu shot, this coronavirus shot, things like that, like I never even took it upon myself to go to like a CVS or some drugstore and get. It's just, no, I'm good.
Respect.
And you know, a lot of this has to do with your eating and your health and how you take care of yourself. I think it's mental too. It's a mental battle. And a lot of people fail. They fail. And a lot of people aren't clean. Believe it or not. Yeah,
that's actually a really big one, is that a lot of people aren't clean though.
Nasty.
Like, a lot of niggas is dirty.
Nasty.
Like, it was so alarming for people to start washing their hands and be like, oh, no, I have to.
Now, when I heard people complaining about washing their hands, I said, nah. I said, y'all niggas is dirty.
That's the problem. I'm telling you, like, it's all on you, I think. I think it's all on you. And I'm choosing to eat better and, you know, so on and so forth. Luckily, I have dance to work out and things like that. But all that, like, taking stuff and everybody putting all these new things into their diet. I mean, I think that's dope. I think, you know what? Let me take that back.
You live in the land of putting stuff in your body.
Yeah, this shit is encouraging people to, like, you know, have sea moss and elderberry and, you know, proper vitamin C and things. I think that's dope. But it's like, grow up. Y'all should have been on that shit. Like, y'all should have been on 10 about your health, because it's like, look around you. Like, even before Corona, like, how do you not want better for yourself? I don't know.
Well, what I will say in defense of a decent portion of people, especially that look like us, is that a lot of people are, like, eating what they eat in order to, like, live. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, they don't, and on top of that, they don't have the information to know that, like, okay, well, you need to eat, like, X, Y, Z. Like, even, like, in school, you get, like, the food pyramid, which is not, like, a plate. But, right. like, if you're at home and you don't have the Those I guess things. Some of the shit, you know what I mean? You got to eat your ramen noodles. You know what I mean? Or you got to eat.
Back to your own point, like, that's what you were raised on. You were raised on eating this right. way. The generation right. before that was eating this way. So it's like, that's
right.
Right. So, like, even me, like, it's probably the most I've eaten fruit in my life. Like, this, like, past, like, year and a half, the most I've eaten fruit. And, like, even growing up, like, I was just like, it's like, there's an apple there, but, like, why, like, what's the point? Like, I can eat a double cheeseburger. It's way better. So, like, but luckily for me, I've always been, like, you know what I'm saying, I've had a quick metabolism, so it wasn't ever, like, a super, like, issue. But, like, I feel like I've made the switch for the most part. Of course, I still love my Chick-fil-A, you know what I mean? But, like, I don't eat, like, those things as, like, often as, like, I used to growing up. Like I said, I definitely incorporate more fruits and vegetables into my diet, because, I mean, like, you see, like, the people who are older than you see them struggle with, like, you know, the high cholesterols or, like, the high blood pressure. And you're just like, what can I do different that doesn't have me in that same position? I mean, of course, there's some people, you know, your genetics, you're susceptible to those things. But for the most part, you can do a lot to kind of mitigate some of those things happening to you. Down the line.
Absolutely.
So it's definitely important to take care of yourself. So, but Tajan, this was really amazing. I'm glad that we got this opportunity to sit down and talk with you. Whenever they open up LA, like, niggas got to come out there and we got to, like, find the mansion parties and, like, and do it up. And, like, I'm going to get on, like, a back lot and I'm going to do some choreography. You know,
yes,
it's gonna be lit.
I can go meet Dougie. So if you ever need somebody in the videos,
like, nah, we don't need all that, bro.
I could do it. I'm trying to tell you.
We don't need a Dougie, bro. We don't need a Dougie. Let me stop. But yeah, like I said, thank you, Tajan. Is there anything that you want to leave the people with before we wrap up today?
Never too much, honestly.
Ooh, okay.
Just stay golden. Love yourself, choose yourself, keep it G, you know, take care of your family, take care of yourself, and everything else will fall into place, honestly.
Beautiful, beautiful.
One love.
Do you want to give the people your social media where they can follow you? If not, that is okay too, because people have definitely refused.
You can follow me anywhere, everywhere at Tydryn, Tydryn.
Thank you for not exposing me for spelling your name wrong earlier. Actually,
oh,
I appreciate
good.
That. Alistair, can you hold us down with your Stairs to Greatness for this week?
Absolutely. This week's Stairs to Greatness is, once you stop chasing the wrong thing, the right thing will catch you. Think about it. So with this Stairs to Greatness segment, we're actually about to go and start making videos. So be on the lookout for that. You can follow me on Instagram, Stairs to Greatness, Stairs to Greatness. Boom. Make sure you follow our podcast page, AMB Podcast. We're doing it all for y'all. We love y'all. We appreciate all the support. And as I always say, we are the vehicle. You are the wheels. We're not going nowhere without you. So much appreciated. Bryce.
Oh, man. And as always, I don't have anything profound to say, man. But at the end of the day, just move with some urgency, bro. You only got a finite amount of time here. You got to get to it at the end of the day. I mean, if there's something you want to do or something you like doing, go for it, man. Say fuck it. And hopefully it works out for you. If not, go back to the drawing board and try some other shit. But don't stop trying. That's the number one thing. And you can follow me on social media. I'm still doing the double name thing on IG, Young Tamarack, YOUNGTAMARACK. On Instagram, it's Kofi Bryce underscore KOFIBRYCE underscore. And as always, we play music from artists that we fuck with or artists from around the way. And we actually got Jiggy Hendrix. We'll play some music from him, some unreleased tracks. So definitely appreciate you for being with us today, Tyhydrin. Thank you so much again. Alistair, appreciate you. I appreciate myself. Look at you, handsome devil. Yeah, Bryce, I see you. Thank you for listening to another week of the AMB podcast. Peace.
We out.
Same way, ho, dear. Y'all little niggas getting no bread. I see life through broke lens. Plug call said, only fix it if it's broken. Got the ocean in motion. Smelling like a bitch's fake lotion. I'm in the field making plays the world won't notice. All my hocus pocus. They couldn't stop me at my lowest. Quoted, painting pictures off the moat. Don't play like the worst villain. More squirrel than them hoe villas. I'm majestic. Give MC Gusto. Shout out to mommy. She call me Poppy Chulo. She know that I'm the uno. Run this shit through the two hole. Make it hits like Alpha Pujols. With no two homes. Your baby mama got two homes. And if there's a problem, we 50 deep like I got longevity. I know niggas that I was just slow gym but can't step to me. I know hoes that used to hate trying to have sex with me. I got the recipe. I do this for any man standing next to me. We like the Pistons in 04. Brick with the glick. Shot so pure. You the biggest bust in Jaleel Okafor. Real moves are made in silence. That's a spoken law. Have y'all breaking full. Reaping the repercussions to act famous. Lose your fingers. Try and twist them fingers. Change your career. Now you a singer. Mama always said, don't let that bullshit linger. I watched Bud move two zips in an hour off his pinger. We had a good lunch. That's just the man in me. I know niggas that smile on my face but got mad envy. Cut the last nigga off for calling me stingy. Fake love is mad cringy. I ain't got time for it.